Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about the Korean War, how families have been divided, and how countries have been divided, and what Hyundai is trying to do about it. Remember last time we talked about the example of an elderly gentleman by the name of King Goo-hyun, and he's been separated from his hometown in North Korea for many decades, and he was wailing in front of a simulated grave of his parents.
Uh-huh.
And this is kind of what Hyundai is trying to do. They're trying to bring people together in various ways. I guess that simulated village is one way.
Yeah, using 3D mapping technology, they can never go home, or they can't go to South Korea if they live in North Korea. And actually, even though South Koreans, they have a lot of freedom and they technically could travel there, it's a little dangerous because sometimes when they cross that demilitarized zone, they're arrested and accused of being spies. So I don't know if you want to go there. It can be very dangerous even for Americans to go there. We've had some people be arrested or get arrested in the last year. I don't know if you know, Tom, but...
Yeah, I've heard that. And,
yeah.
Of course, it's going to be bragging rights if you're able to say that, hey, I've been to North Korea. I was there before.
It's dangerous,
but,
though.
But I don't really need those bragging rights. I don't really want to take a chance by getting arrested or something up there. So
no.
You guys can go there if you want. I'm staying away.
Yeah, and the most recent American who was arrested was a young student who was just over there kind of, you know, traveling around. Be careful. Yeah, bragging rights is when you go to a place or you see a movie star and nobody else has done it. And you can kind of say, I'm so cool. So right now we're going to go ahead and dive into day two. We're going to read through the article and then we'll be back. The Korean War saw nearly 5 million casualties and thousands of people displaced from their homes. Then in July 1953, the warring Koreas signed a ceasefire, effectively ending the fighting along the 38th parallel. Though the ceasefire brought some relief to the nations, it was little more than an agreement to disagree. A peace treaty was never signed, meaning the threat of warfare remains. One outcome of the ceasefire was the Demilitarized Zone, DMZ, a 2-mile-wide expanse of land along the 38th parallel. As the most heavily militarized border in the world, the DMZ separated any displaced family members for good. This figurative iron curtain meant that most of them would never meet again. Some lucky families, however, are allowed by the Korean governments to have brief reunions during times of relative peace. Families are chosen to attend through a random computerized lottery. Last October, Lee Okyun, an 88-year-old South Korean woman, received word that she would be reunited with her husband, whom she hadn't laid eyes on for 65 years. At the same reunion, Kim Okya, a 72-year-old South Korean woman, wept upon seeing her elder brother. After he had been forcibly recruited into the North Korean army in 1951, Kim spent more than half a century believing her brother was dead. The families get a mere 12 hours to relive the past 65 years. Though the occasion is supposed to be a joyful one, they are constantly on guard, fearful of spies, and cautious not to speak out against the strict North Korean regime. Indeed, the families often leave, wondering if their brief visits even constitute reunions. On the contrary, most agree that the reunions are more of a farewell, the final blow dealt by a forgotten war that's torn their lives apart.
Okay, the time has now arrived for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. Let's continue talking about some of the statistics concerning the Korean War. The Korean War saw nearly 5 million casualties and thousands of people displaced from their homes. We're not saying the war saw these things literally. It just means we got to see these things. These things happened. 5 million casualties. A casualty is when somebody is injured or killed in a war or maybe even an accident. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that just means people were hurt or killed. And also, lots of people were displaced from their homes. If you're displaced, that means you can no longer stay where you were. You've got to go someplace else. In a sense, you are a refugee.
Yeah, you have to move from your home or your usual place. Now, back then in July 1953, the warring Koreas, if two places or neighbors or even family members are fighting, will often use this adjective. They were warring. Well, these two countries really were. The warring Koreas signed a ceasefire. A ceasefire is an agreement that says, okay, we're going to stop shooting and you're going to stop shooting. So you agree to stop fighting with real bullets, okay? So you stop shooting and, you know, blowing things up using bombs, things like that. The ceasefire effectively ended the fighting along the 38th parallel. So they stopped the actual fighting, although really the war never ended, did it?
Not really. And yes, it's not right on the 38th parallel. That changed during the war. Uh-huh. At one point, the Chinese invaded from the north, and the UN were forced way down in the south there. They almost lost everything, and then they pushed back, and basically it was about half and half by the time ended. Pretty much back to the 38th parallel, but not exactly. And though the ceasefire brought some relief to the nations, it was little more than an agreement to disagree. So they didn't actually say, okay, we're going to stop fighting. Let's declare peace here. We'll exchange ambassadors. We'll recognize each other's governments. Nope, that never happened. They just kind of agreed to disagree. That's an interesting phrase we often use, especially if you're in an argument with somebody. Somebody might be really left-wing, and then the other person's really right-wing, and they argue and they argue, and they say, okay, let's just agree to disagree and keep on being friends.
Yeah, sometimes you can't agree with your friend's opinion and he can't agree with yours. So you want to maintain your friendship, so you agree to disagree. This is kind of similar to that. They're just using an agreement, the noun form, agreement to disagree. Now, a peace treaty was never signed. A peace treaty is a document, usually between two countries, two governments, where the two sides come together. It can be even more than two sides. It can be multiple parties, we could say, multiple people or multiple countries. They come together and they formally agree that they will no longer participate in a war, that they're not going to fight each other. So here we're learning that a peace treaty was never signed. I actually didn't know that. That's interesting. Meaning that there's this threat of warfare that remains in those two countries, which means if there's a threat there, it means, oh, it could start at any moment. You never really feel like you're safe.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, especially when North Korea launches missiles and stuff like that. And one outcome of the ceasefire was the DMZ, or Demilitarized Zone, and that is an area between two warring countries where they agree to remove all of their military, all the army, all the tanks, all the missiles. They take it out of there. And yes, indeed, the Demilitarized Zone between the Koreas is pretty much empty there.
Uh-huh.
And if one or the other country sends troops in there, that is an act of war. There's going to be big trouble there.
Yeah, very big trouble. When you talk about something being an expanse, it means kind of a wide or a big area. Here we're just talking about this particular demilitarized zone, what it looks like. It's an area. It's usually land or sea, but it's usually symbolic or it references a wide continuous surface that you can see, so an expanse of land. There's an expanse of desert in my hometown where I grew up. There's just lots of land with
well,
you know,
there's an expanse of cornfields where I'm from.
That's true. We both have a lot of land in the states where we grew up where there's not a lot of people. Okay, so it was a pretty big area, a 2 mile wide expanse of land along that 38th parallel. Now, it's the most heavily militarized border in the world. as most of you know, if two countries are side by side and are not separated by an ocean, then you have to come up with this border, this line in the earth or the dirt that kind of separates those two countries. You have to decide where your country starts and where your country ends. That's the border. Well, it's very heavily militarized, which means it has a lot of soldiers along the border who have big guns. And so it's well protected, well guarded.
It certainly is. So that, of course, is a militarized border, even though it's called the DMZ. But again, it's empty there, but they've got their guns and their tanks and their missiles and their howitzers or whatever pointed at each other just outside the DMZ. And, of course, that DMZ is big trouble for family members. It has separated, displaced family members for good. For good just means forever. It's never going to change. Hopefully it will someday. We don't know how long the North Korean government is going to last, but this figurative Iron Curtain meant that most of them would never meet again. We've got the term Iron Curtain. That was the division between East and West in Europe there, between communist countries and Western countries. The Iron Curtain went right down Germany there. There was East Germany and West Germany. That's the Iron Curtain there. This is a figurative Iron Curtain. There isn't actually Iron Curtain there. But it's very much still something that they can't cross over. But it's figuratively, or it's figurative, it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, although there are big offenses there and lots of military that are, you know, just on that border stationed to kill you if you come over where you're not supposed to be. I think that the North Koreans could come into South Korea and not be killed. But I don't think it works the other way around. Right now, guys, we're going to take a brief little break here. We might even have a snack, and then we'll be back. Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny.
今天我们继续来看第二单元。好，我们在提韩战，提南北韩。其实韩战这个在历史上它的地位，应该是说它造就了今天两个国家。这个第一句话就提到 The Korean War saw nearly 5 million casualties。 好，到这里为止，那个 saw 我们先注意一下， see 这个动词是看见，可是呢，如果你的主词不是一个人，而是一个事件，是一个时代，然后你用 see 这个动词，它的中文就相当于见证，也就是这个历史事件它见证了什么，它见证了有这么多人伤亡离开家园。那我们要还要注意，就是像这句话里面的这么多的人，500万的人伤亡，上千人被迫离开家。好，那被迫离家这个 displaced 接在 people 的后面，它其实是一个过去分词。我们也了解咯，虽然 see 这里是当作见证，但是它还是一个感官动词，感官动词后面加受词，受词后面加补语，所以说其实这个 displaced 过去分词是一个补语，修饰的是 people， 也就是这些人是被迫离开了家乡。那我们继续往下，下面呢，我们知道当时两韩签署了停火协议，所以呢就会有一个北纬38度线，然后分开两边。不过啊，这边提到了说当时签的这个 ceasefire， 也就是停火协议呢，也不过就是 an agreement to disagree。 诶，这个倒是蛮有趣的，我们看他玩的文字游戏啊。An agreement 是一个表示两个人双方签订的协议，但是这个协议却是说你可以保有不同意见，所以虽然是一个两方都同意的协定，可是其实是各自表述。下面就说到了这个38度线这边有一块的区块，这个范围它是一个非军事区。我们来看它用到了这个字 demilitarized zone，当然我们把它缩称为 DMZ。 我们看到 demilitarize， 我们知道 military 那是军事的，是军队，那 D 这个字首其实就是代表 away， 去除，所以你也可以了解，从字面上就看得出来，这是一个去军事化的一个区块。
Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson for today. We're talking about the divided Korean Peninsula and what Hyundai is trying to do about it. But we're in the middle of a history lesson right now, talking about what happened in Korea after World War II and the demilitarized zone and all that kind of stuff. And that pretty much keeps family members separated. If, say, people grew up in North Korea and later went to the South and left family members behind and stuff like that. Well, some lucky families, however, are allowed by the Korean governments to have brief reunions during times of relative peace. Okay, so sometimes the Koreans aren't actually making each other angry, okay? Sometimes the North is pretty much happy with what the South is doing and vice versa. So they say, well, you know, we're actually getting along. We're not going to give up, you know, our governments and stuff like that. But maybe what we could do is have a few projects here and there. And one of those projects is when they bring family members together, especially if they have been separated by that nasty war and the situation over several decades.
Yeah, kind of tough, right? Well, they've got this weird system, guys, where families are chosen to attend these brief reunions when there's some relative peace. It's not complete peace, of course. They're chosen to attend through a random computerized lottery. I think most of our listeners know what a lottery is. We have lotteries here in Taiwan where you go and buy a ticket, and if you have the right numbers, you win some money, sometimes a lot of money. Here it's a lottery that if you win this lottery, you get to go and visit with some family members that have been away for a long time, either living in South Korea or North Korea, and they're able to get together. I love reunions. Those are so fun. But can you imagine a reunion with family members you haven't seen for 70 years or 50 years? Crazy.
Gotta be pretty weird. That went on in the 80s there when people here in Taiwan, especially if they had come from mainland China over to Taiwan during the war there, they were given permission to travel up to China.
Oh, that's true.
So they had some family reunions then. That's now a very commonplace nowadays. But in Korea, ooh, it just can't happen.
Well, China's open now.
Pretty much, yeah. Sure. Anybody can go up there
now. Oh, yeah.
But in this case, in Korea, families are chosen to attend through a random computerized lottery, which, as you said, is like the lottery here. Numbers are just kind of picked at random. There's no particular order. And it's computerized. It's done with a computer. And we're going to talk about the example of Lee Ok-yun. She's an 88-year-old South Korean woman. She received...
Let me mention her Chinese name is
okay,
Lee.
Okay, do, please.
Lee Yuyen.
Lee Yuyen.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Lee Ok-yun. Forgive me if I've mispronounced any Korean here, but I imagine the Koreans don't expect Americans to be able to pronounce their language perfectly. But in any case here, she's already 88 years old, and she received word, or she received news, that she would be reunited with her husband, whom she hadn't laid eyes on for 65 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time not to see your husband, and I probably suspect that she probably doesn't expect him to have been faithful to her.
He probably got remarried.
Yeah. In any case, they could still see each other. They can still lay eyes on each other. This phrase, to lay eyes on someone, is when you see someone, but usually in a romantic situation. Oh, I fell in love with you the first time I laid eyes on you.
Or if somebody, maybe you're dating someone and your boyfriend's a little jealous and he says, oh, I know you went and saw your old boyfriend. You could say, I haven't laid eyes on him for 2 months. So it's just to see someone personally. Now, at the same reunion, there was someone else, this Kim Okya, a 72-year-old South Korean woman, who wept upon seeing her elder brother. Now, her name in Chinese is Jin Yu-ci. So she was happy to be reunited with her older brother or elder brother. They both work. That would have been a great reunion. And very sad that they had to be separated all those years. It's kind of interesting. And I bet it was hard to even recognize each other because when they were separated, they were probably still pretty young.
Right, and they're not that old. She's only 72, and so she probably still has some pretty good memory, and she can still remember what he looks like. He's as handsome as the first day I saw him. And after he had been forcibly recruited into the North Korean army in 1951, Kim spent more than half a century believing her brother was dead. So he was recruited into the North Korean army. To recruit means you basically hire someone in the armed forces, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. You're recruited. If you're brought into the Army against your will, if you have to do it, we say that you are drafted.
Mm.
And I guess in North Korea, I guess being recruited into the Army is the same thing as being drafted. He probably didn't have any choice there.
Well, it says forcibly recruited.
Yeah,
so
drafted, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no choice there. Now, the families, sadly enough, only get a mere 12 hours. Mere means only 12 hours to relive the past 65 years. If you relive something, guys, it means you go through an experience or a feeling. A lot of times we use this in a negative way, an unpleasant experience or feeling, just in your own mind or imagination. They probably just talked about what it had been like for them for the past 65 years. Now, though the occasion or this event, this occasion is supposed to be a joyful one, that's what they hope it would be, filled with a lot of laughter and joy. They're constantly on guard. If you're on guard, you're very careful and you watch what you say and watch what you do, because it might get you in trouble if you do or say the wrong thing. They're fearful of spies. Maybe there's a spy among them that's listening to their words. And they're cautious. Or they're very careful. That's what cautious means, not to speak out against the strict North Korean regime. A regime is a government that is takes control of your lives. They're very forceful. You don't have freedoms in a regime.
Yeah, regime is a government, but as you said, it's more a government of some kind of dictatorship or some kind of a place that has single power from one person,
yeah.
A regime. And indeed, the families often leave wondering if their brief visits even constitute reunions.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 12 hours long. And I also remember hearing some comments from the South Koreans. They say, oh, they've been so brainwashed. All they do is talk about their great leader, and they don't really talk about anything that we're interested in.
Interesting.
So it's like, I guess they say it's kind of like a political education session or something like that, and not so much a family reunion.
Well, their family members in North Korea are probably afraid to do anything but what they're told to do. They could, you know, they could face death.
Well, that's kind of like in line with what we're saying. They have to be cautious. They have to be on guard and stuff. So they're not really sure if these visits constitute reunions. Here, constitute just means to actually be something,
yeah,
or compose something or comprise of things to make a whole.
On the contrary, just means just the opposite. They're not reunions. Most agree that the reunions are more of a farewell. It's probably the last time that some of these family members will see each other. Actually, it probably is, because
they're that old, yeah.
It's a lottery. So they don't exactly get to choose when they have a reunion. The odds are that their numbers won't be picked again, because they do this through a computerized lottery. So a farewell is just a point in time when you say goodbye to someone. It could be a farewell, maybe for a couple of years. Maybe a farewell of a couple of weeks. Maybe it's a final farewell. We talk about funerals being a final farewell to our friends and loved ones. Here it says, the final blow that's dealt by a forgotten war that's torn their lives apart. So it's almost like these reunions are just another bit of mistreatment. It's kind of a hard thing or a terrible tragedy they have to go through, even to have these reunions, which are very sad.
Yeah, the final blow, that's kind of similar to the last straw, but indeed, that's where it hurts the worst there.
Yeah.
These countries have been torn apart. Their lives have been torn apart. You can tear a piece of paper apart. And that's what to tear apart means, and hopefully someday this problem will be resolved. But I don't think it's going to be resolved before these people pass away. So unfortunately, though, or I should say fortunately, at least they have those 12 hours, and some people do get the opportunity.
Yeah, to at least see their loved ones before they move on.
you know, and they die. So it's kind of a very sad story. We hope that in the not too distant future that North Korea will free up and people will be allowed to go back to, you know, a life with freedom. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
我们继续来看，我们说到南北韩之间，中间隔着一块非军事区。接下来呢，就来看有一点比较特别的，就是他这边说到的南北这个双方国家的人民就不能再见面了。似乎是如此，可是呢，有的时候南北韩政府呢，他会批准某一些幸运者，然后能够呢，在某一个相对的和平的时期里，然后进行短暂的重聚。我们知道重聚是 reunion， 好，这个字当然也很简单，我们知道 re 就代表 again， 所以说这样子的意思就表示再度的聚会，再度的团圆。字根字首我们把它分开之后，我们知道一个动词是 unite， 那就表示团结在一起，那 reunite 就是再重新团结在一起，它的名词形式就是这个字 reunion。 接下来就是这个里面一个故事啊，有些幸运的家庭获准可以再见面，像这位南韩的妇女李玉妍女士，她跟她的丈夫可以再度团聚。看到这个片语了吗？ Be reunited with her husband。 除了她之外，还有另外一名72岁的南韩妇女，她叫金玉慈，那她也可以跟她的兄长再度聚会。看到她见面的那一瞬间，她说 wept upon seeing her elder brother。 我们知道这也是一个常见的介系词 upon， 它如果后面呢会加一个动词，那一定是要动名词，介系词当然加动名词，但是它的解释就是在那一刻，在那一瞬间，在那个时候一怎么样就怎么样。所以等于说你如果想到别的片语 as soon as，这也表示一怎么样就怎么样，只不过 as soon as 那是要接一个子句的，它算是一个连接词的片语哦，你后面就接子句主词动词，那如果是 upon 那当然就是动名词了。我们看完这边感人的故事，最后这里我们就说到，像这些家庭呢，它是有12个小时可以去重温过去他们相聚的岁月。不过这个场合究竟是悲还是喜，以他这边文章的结论里面，他就说其实有时候他们再想一想，这个短暂的拜访说它是团聚，但也很可能你可以用另外一个角度来看，这好像是最后一次的见面了。那我们看到这前后的转折，中间的这个转折词 on the contrary， 所以换一个角度来看，唉，其实这个就像是告别会。 OK， 我们今天这个文章的讲解到此结束，我们下次见。
That is it for today's program. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of English Digest. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.